Well, hello there, my friend.
Good evening.
And welcome to the Nexus.
Welcome back to the Nexus.
Welcome back to the Nexus. It's been a little bit too long since we've been in the Nexus.
Does one ever really leave the Nexus?
Ooh. Do you think that that's something that the likes of Aristotle and Socrates have been pondering lo these many years?
I think fortunately for our guests, we're going to scrap this whole Disney segment. We're just going to ponder this for the next 180 minutes.
This 180 minutes. So we're going Braveheart length on this. Just a pondering of what it means to be in the Nexus, and is that a permanent status, or is it sort of a come and go type thing?
Or is it this is a metaphor for net neutrality?
Wow, I don't even know where this is going now, but I'm excited to be a part of it. So, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Excellent, excellent.
It's nice to
I
be recording in
also,
daylight hours again.
we're running low on daylight here in the Palmetto State. The sun is almost below the horizon. So I imagine you've got probably about another hour
Yeah, I'm
in the bayou.
staring directly at it right now. I'm gonna
At the
stare at it for a
sun?
while and see what happens.
Well, you know, I like to do that when there's an eclipse.
I feel like binoculars are always a big help.
They really are. A magnifying glass is also helpful. So any of those things can be very useful when staring directly into the sun. So,
Our legal department is telling me to put a disclaimer in that the Nexus cannot be responsible for anyone looking directly at the sun.
and I believe our PR department is saying, "What are you guys doing?" So there's that. You
We may
probably
or may
need
not have
to.
invested some of our Patreon money into a magnifying glass and binocular company.
That will go nicely when we reconstruct the Legion of Doom. And these are just the first couple of, is it apparatuses or apparati
That's a good
that
question.
we are going to have in the newly constructed Legion of Doom, which, by the way, Steve, when if you and I are the two founding members of the newly reconstructed Legion of Doom, who is the first former member of the Legion of Doom that we recruit to join the new Legion of Doom?
Solomon Grundy.
Without question, it was Solomon Grundy. Without question. So, okay, I feel like we're off to a good start.
Solomon Grundy liked Disney World.
And just what does Solomon Grundy like about Disney World? And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we are entering into Fantasyland this evening.
We are so we took a quick journey. We actually missed a major attraction that I realized. It's not an attraction that I don't think I've been in for at least 25, 30 years. But we missed an attraction in Adventureland. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I actually didn't realize I'm looking at. I didn't have a map of Disney World with me because Adventureland and Frontierland are fairly small. But man, Fantasyland really is jam packed, which is why it's one of my favorite lands in all of Disney World, period. And I think of all the lands, Fantasyland is the land where I feel like I'm at Disney World, period. Like I know I'm at Disney if once I hit Fantasyland.
So you said that Fantasyland is one of your favorite lands at Disney. Would you also say it's one of your favorite lands in general?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Like
I
just
mean,
of all the
all
lands in the world, then I mean like more than
now,
like Swaziland.
or if we're talking about Gondwanaland, the mega continent several millions of years ago, I
Right.
think that comes into play here.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify for our listeners who might have been concerned that they weren't sure exactly how broad your scope was with this. But you've got my attention with this thing that we missed in Adventureland,
We did. So
and
we talked about pirates. At least I think we missed it. Pirates, the Treehouse, Aladdin, and the Jungle Cruise. But I don't remember hitting this one.
The Tiki Room?
Yeah. Did we talk about the Tiki Room? I don't think we did.
I thought that we did. If we didn't, you know, our listeners will let us know pretty quickly that we failed or succeeded one way or the other. Our listeners.
I've got an inbox full of emails saying we failed on that one.
Okay. Okay. So do we need to revisit Adventureland just for the sake of entering the Tiki Room?
Well, I would just say this about the Tiki Room. I remember going to the Tiki Room when I was the first time I was there in 1980 and loving the Tiki Room. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And thinking it was the greatest thing in the world. My brother, who's a couple years older, seemed really annoyed. Don't remember the rest of my family loving it. And then I feel like I went maybe once or twice when I was older and just really wasn't digging it anymore. didn't seem nearly as entertaining as when I was 7 years old. So I didn't really have I don't have much to say about the Tiki Room. I don't know if I would. It's not an attraction I know if I would want to spend. I would assume it's probably 10 to 15 minutes. It's probably more like 7 or 8, but I don't know if I want to take that time and spend it there. What do you think?
Well, I will go ahead and let you know that the last time I was in Disney, I experienced the Tiki Room.
How was it? I heard there's a lot of clicks and clacks going on there.
Yes. Yes, there are. And they don't sing any Bee Gees songs. So that was a little disappointing. But I enjoyed it for what it was. It was an escape from the, I guess, from the weather. And I can't remember if it was hotter or colder when we were there the last time. I would think colder because of when it was. But, you know, it's right next to the Dole Whip stand, which, you know, you're a big fan of those.
Yeah, I love a good Dole Whip.
Yeah. So I believe that we grabbed ourselves a Dole Whip and ducked into the Tiki Room. And it was, you know, while you're taking in a Dole Whip, why not also take in a show?
Is it like an outdoor show, if I remember correctly, and you're kind of looking up?
No, it's indoor. No? And it's okay. The birds are, you know, the birds are talking and cracking jokes with each other and singing some songs like in the Tiki 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 Room.
I remember that, where all the birds fly south in the Tiki 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 Room.
I'm a country bear guy, which I think we established last time, as is your wife.
Yeah, huge. Brandy is a huge Country Bear fan.
I would not put it on the level of the Country Bears, but I thought it was reasonably entertaining for what it was. And yeah, you're probably right. I would say probably it's more than 7 minutes, but less than 15. I would think 10 to 12. So, but, you know, I would do it again simply because most of the time you don't have to wait other than for the show to start.
Do you think it would be a suitable venue for a presidential debate?
I do. I really do. Especially if we are talking about the president of Woodman of the World. That's, you know, now I just alienated them. Right. But I, you know, my understanding is that their current president is affiliated with Fancy Feast. So
yeah, it's just a matter of time. Anyway, this deciduous mess.
Yes, exactly.
All right, so let's go over. Let's jump into Liberty Square.
Okay.
We need to hit that. Then we'll hit Fantasyland and then Tomorrowland, and then we'll head back down Main Street and out the door. So if we're going over into Liberty Square, there's three attractions there. There's the Hall of Presidents, the Liberty Square Riverboat, and the Haunted Mansion. I guess I would start with the Hall of Presidents. We'll save the best for last, which is clearly the Haunted Mansion. Let's add this too. There's dining there. There's Liberty Tree Tavern, Columbia Harbor House, which we established you're a fan of, the Diamond Horseshoe. Well,
no, we did not establish Columbia Harbor House that I was a fan. I'm a fan of Liberty Tree Tavern.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, that's all right. It's a common mistake.
And there's Sleepy Hollow is another dining place there. Mm-hmm. There's a cool little haunted mansion shop called Memento Mori, a little small building just outside of there. But the Hall of Presidents, which is, you know, animatronic presidents, I guess just kind of reading off their greatest hits.
Right.
Boy, nothing could be more boring for me. And it's 22 minutes long, which seems, man, I feel like I could use better 22 minutes, a lot better at Disney or at the Magic Kingdom than the Hall of Presidents.
Agreed. Agreed. However, I'm a history person, and it is a nice compendium. I'm going to use a word there, that of the history of the nation's presidents in a nice little tight little summary. And the animatronics are kind of cool. They are very real looking. It is clear that they are robotic or whatever it is, but it's still a neat little experience. And I enjoy myself in there. Plus, sort of like the Tiki Room or Country Bear Jamboree, it's a nice place to escape the weather for a little bit. That's one of the things that I appreciate, the way that Disney has staggered things like that, that you can kind of get out and get out of the sun, get out of the rain, get out of the cool, whatever it is that you're trying to get out of, and just sit down for a few minutes. Let's be honest, there's a lot of walking at Disney.
Yeah, there is. I would just fall asleep in it. Here I have the transcript verbatim for the Gerald Ford animatronic, which reads, "I am Gerald Ford. I was a president." And that's the entire transcript.
Well said. I would also remind our listeners that Steve is a communist. Just... I mean, I wanted to get that out there.
For the record, I am not a communist. Our legal department has asked Scott to disavow that comment.
Our legal department has been busy tonight for us.
They really
for us
have.
To be, 12 minutes into the podcast. So, I think that this probably, I mean, I am a history guy. So, and Hall of Presidents goes like way back for me. And I know that it does for you as well, but you know, I was interested in it when I went to Disney for the first time. And I was interested in it when I went to Disney the most recent time. So it's something that has carried well for me. Now, I've also been a couple of times where it's been closed, usually because they're updating because there's another president or something like that. So, yeah. And then a lot of that stuff was closed during COVID because they weren't doing, when they reopened, they weren't doing some of the closed quarter stuff. So, yeah.
I think anyway. The last to tell you how much I really enjoy the Hall of Presidents, and we went through my Disney resume, which is somewhere between 15 to 20 times, and I mm-hmm. believe the last time I was in the Hall of Presidents, Jimmy Carter was the President of the United States.
Wow!
So that means that Gerald Ford animatronic was like right there.
Steve, so that would mean you would have been 6 to 7 years old.
I was not quite yet seven, just a few weeks off seven the first time we went.
And you have not, you really need to go back and see it.
I don't know.
I'm disappointed and I'm going to insist upon this, as well as the Tiki Room. I think that next time you go to Disney,
I'm very open to the Tiki Room, but for the sake of the podcast and our listeners out there, I'm willing to go to Hall of Presidents. So, and then I think we need to do some live podcast from Disney at some point.
In the Hall of Presidents while they're doing their spiel. I don't think that would be disruptive at all.
Probably not. There's going to be no one else in there.
That's not true. That is not true.
People need a nap. All right, let's go into the Liberty Square Riverboat. Cruise the Rivers of America. I've been on Liberty Square Riverboat a few times. It's not a bad experience by any means, but it's going to take 20 to 30 minutes out of your day just kind of going on a riverboat down a river that there's really nothing on to see. Mm-hmm. So it's not something I particularly find. Plus, if you ride the riverboat over from the transportation center, you've already had that boat ride. So It's something I usually skip, but like I said, I don't hate it. I shouldn't even say I don't dislike it. It's fine, but I'd rather do something else.
I would say that the last time I was on the riverboat cruise, do you know who was president?
I'm going to go Ross Perot.
Jimmy Carter.
I wonder if we were there at the same time.
Is it possible we
rode the Liberty Square riverboat together when we were both 7 years old or
maybe
6 years old?
Maybe so. And then we both took a break from the heat in the Hall of Presidents, where Jimmy Carter was the one that made the ending speech. That's probably how it happened, I would imagine. So
now,
yeah,
I have to say that coming up on the Haunted Mansion here, the Haunted Mansion is absolutely my number one attraction in all of Disney, the Magic Kingdom, and Epcot. Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios. For me, it's the Haunted Mansion is number one. And if you'll allow me to introduce this properly, Scott. When hinges creak in doorless chambers and strange and frightening sounds echo through the halls, whenever candlelights flicker, that is the time when ghosts are present, practicing their terror with ghoulish delight. How was that?
I believe, was that from Braveheart?
It's actually from Yentl.
Yentl to the Briss?
Yentl, I mean, 3, the matzo ball.
Okay. Excellent. Yes. No, that was perfect. So it is now my third favorite ride. It was number two for a long time, but it's now my third favorite ride.
Interesting. For me, this ride goes back to
That's across all the parks. In Magic Kingdom, it's my number two favorite ride. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I acknowledge there's many great rides out there. For me, I have to get a little bit of history before I even went to Disney World. I think it was my Aunt Mary. For some reason, I associate this with, maybe it came from somewhere else, but I remember getting a vinyl record, you know, the 33 size.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That told the story of the Haunted Mansion, and it had pictures in it which matched the attraction. The voice on it is a young Ron Howard, telling a story about two teenagers getting lost, ending up in the Haunted Mansion. And I like everything about it. I think they, even before they improved the queue to make it interactive, it was still always a very fast loading ride. Walking up to it, and you've got that ghost hearse outside there, and you start to hear the music, and it starts to even feel, I'm sure it's on purpose, it starts to feel cooler the closer mm-hmm. you get to the entrance.
It does.
And, you know, you walk in and you've got the stretchy room with that voice doing the
yes.
When Hinges Creak. And it's just such a – the cast members seem to be – you know, they're so in character. It loads so fast. The dune buggies are fairly comfortable. I mean, there's nothing, you know, elaborate about them, but it's a comfortable ride. And it's a great story. They did some updates in the mid-90s. Like, they added that kind of the M.C. Escher room with the stairways uh-huh. that go everywhere.
Right.
I just like all of it. I like the way I love that it's a great dark ride that seems to last a long time. It tells a great story. There's no part of it when I'm in there, do I feel bored or, like, when is this thing going to be over? You know, they've got Madame Leota's floating head. I like the part when everyone loves the dining room. I mean, that's great, obviously. Right. And I've always liked the Phantom at the organ. But I'll really like the part where you go through the attic. And then the dune buggy turns and you lean backwards. And you're going down to the graveyard. And you can see, like, the shingles of the house that you're leaving.
Right.
And I think that's such a really cool effect. And then all of a sudden you see the ghosts flying up above you. And it feels like you're in a graveyard. And you've got the singing bus over there. And you've got the scared graveyard keeper with the dog. The only part that I really, the part at the end where the ghosts are in the dune buggy with you doesn't do a whole lot for me. But I always thought the part that was creepy is, like, you know, when you're kind of going back uphill and there's like that, it's not an animatronic, it's like a projected face on like a ghost in a wedding dress. and saying "Hurry back," and you see like her heart beating.
Yes. Yes.
I just love all of it. All of it's great.
Have you watched the on Disney Plus the any of the behind the ride behind the attractions?
It's been a while.
You should watch if you haven't watched the one on the Haunted Mansion. There's a lot of good information.
Oh, I've read books on the Haunted Mansion. I've seen a lot of information on it. It's so much. It's just such a fun ride. There's so much going on. There's so many effects.
Yes. And it does. It has a fantastic queue. And I love. I really do. You mentioned the three busts in the graveyard that are singing. That's one of my favorite parts. I love that little bit. I wish it would pause. There are two things that I feel like detract from Haunted Mansion. I wish sometimes it would pause a little bit more to let you take in a little bit more. Because sometimes I feel like I'm missing things because there is so much that to see. But the other part is it breaks down so often. That's my biggest problem, or at least that's been my experience, is that it stalls out and you're sitting there or you're in line and you haven't moved for a while and you start to wonder what's going on. And then somebody finally asks a cast member and they say, "Oh yeah, it's going to be back up and running in a few minutes." I feel like that happens more on the Haunted Mansion than any other ride.
I've broken down there. I've been there in the dark. Some great little touches in there. Like there's that one where, when you're going down the hallway that has the casket in it, and you see like kind of like the shadow of a claw go by.
Yes.
The pointed like devil's tail on the grandfather clock. I wish they would kind of improve. You look down the hallway to the floating candelabra. Over the years, that's gotten harder to see. That needs a bit of a refresh. Or the clock that always is like is always on 13. That's kind of like scrolling about. But I think they do, because I always try to get it taken as much as I can on the haunted. Even the wallpaper is really cool when you're traveling down the hallway and you know, you see the door is kind of pushing out like something's behind it. The way the doom buggies turn, they do such a great job of you can't really see a lot of stuff, because just when you want to turn back, it's got that curved thing behind you. That doesn't let you do that. But I have a good time. I always find something new every time. I probably could ride that, you know, 10 times in a row, and I wouldn't get sick of it.
Right. Yeah. I'm with you.
It's got, I like spooky. We talked about this before. We talked about Halloween. I like spooky fun. I don't necessarily like horrific.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm with you.
This is spooky fun.
But I would also say this. Disney, one of the things that Disney does so well is details. And this, the Haunted Mansion, is probably the example of the most details that went into anything that they've done, I feel like. There's just so, there is not an inch of wasted space. And I appreciate the effort that went into that.
I agree with that too. That this is so much from like, you know, I can think of like, you know, and I saw this one behind the scenes thing. Like there's even like a specific sound just for the Raven that's by that coffin I was talking about.
Right.
Or like when you see the thing lifting the coffin, you hear it creaking. You can even see the nails in it. So much good stuff there.
Right. Yes. Agreed.
And I just feel like every time I go to that graveyard, I'm seeing something new, but there's just there's a feeling to it. That music, Grim, Grin, and Gross come out to socialize. You know, that music, it feels so Disney. You know you're there. It's a good feeling. It's a fun feeling. I guess that's the reason why we go, is we get to, there is that Disney feel you get. You know, that kind of like that Disney high of just like you're getting this great experience, like you said, with all the little details and all the fun that goes with it. I love it. I don't think it's something I'll ever get old of. I think it's interesting, and I try not to like explore this too much, but it's interesting because you always try to figure out in your mind, like, wait a minute, there's no way what I'm going through in this ride is inside that house that I'm looking at.
Right.
And, you know, you can look at some aerial things and you can really see how big the ride is for the building behind that. They do such a great job of concealing what the ride is actually in. I did learn that the in Disneyland, the stretching room is actually an elevator, And there is a part of that ride where you actually go underground and leave Disneyland's property and come back in during the ride, which I thought was interesting. And I hear the Haunted Mansion in Disneyland is better. It looks different because there it's in New Orleans Square, and there is no New Orleans Square in Florida. I would love to compare and contrast. I don't remember when I was at Disneyland as a kid if I went on that ride or not, but I would love to compare and contrast those.
Right.
So let's take a look at Fantasyland, which is so jam-packed with stuff. So I'm going to read off some of these, and we'll go back and we'll go through them. So attractions include at Fantasyland, Prince Charming's Carousel, Mickey's PhilharMagic, Peter Pan's Flight, It's a Small World, Enchanted Tales with Belle, Under the Sea Journey, The Little Mermaid. There's a Meet Ariel in a Grotto, Walt Disney World Railroad, The Barnstormer, Dumbo the Flying Elephant, The Mad Tea Party, and The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, along with the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train and the Princess Fairy Tale Hall, which that's just like a character meet and greet. Some dining we have in there, Cinderella's Royal Table, which is in the castle. I've never been there. Pinocchio's Village House, never been there. I've been to the Beer Guest restaurant. I've heard Gaston's Tavern is good. And then there's some smaller stuff there. And, of course, the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, which I know you're a fan of, which Brandon and I joke, you pay $100 for them to basically glitter bomb your child's face and then spray their hair with an entire can of Aquanet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to some of these attractions because, man, that's a lot in a small area too.
There's a couple of things I feel like we can shave off in our discussion here just for the sake of time. We don't need to talk about visiting Ariel in her grotto. That's a character visit. We don't need to talk about Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. I think you've kind of summed that up very well. as far as the restaurants, I have also not eaten at in the Cat Cinderella's Table. I have eaten at the other ones. The Be Our Guest obviously is a great dining experience, but Pinocchio's Tavern and what was the other one you said?
It was Gaston's Village House.
I've eaten in both of those, and you know it's Disney fare, and it's good. You know, the food is good. Disney does a quality job with food most of the time, but there's nothing there that I'm going to say, oh, that really blew my skirt up.
I remember liking Be Our Guest. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember anything about the food. I remember it was a really cool looking, it was an amazing looking restaurant with different scenes from Beauty and the Beast. And even when one looked like you were dining in next to a giant music box of them. So the scenery is cool, but I didn't remember much about the food. But let's talk about, do you ride the carousel?
I do ride the carousel. I think I ride it for the sake of nostalgia and consistency. The Disney carousel, it's bigger than most carousels that you see, but it's still a carousel.
Yeah.
and it goes around and around, and there's animals on it, and they go up and down.
Right.
And it's fine, you know, but it is very much a just to say, yes, this is something that's in the center of the park, or at least just barely off center. You know, it is certainly the center of Fantasyland. It is, you know, a stone's throw from the back of the castle, would you say?
Yeah, and I'll simply comment on saying that it's a carousel. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll go on it, sometimes I won't. I don't ever feel this, like, need that I have to go on that ride. It's like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll go on that. Sounds like fun.
I will also say this. Let me say this. You have boys.
Right. True.
I have three girls. And so carousel seems to be more important to girls than it is to boys. Now I'm not trying to overly generalize. That's just been my experience. So do with that what you will, but.
Okay. So now we come upon what I think is one of the top 10, if not top 5. Attractions in all of Disney World for me is Mickey's PhilharMagic, which is a great 3D movie with water effects, smell effects, great music. I like the way it's never much of a wait for it. I even like the queue, which seems like you're going into a movie theater and they have some cool posters in there.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's one of Wheezy, the little penguin from Toy Story, about singing right. in concert.
Yes.
But whenever I go in there, I like it every time. I always enjoy it. The smells, like there's, I think some apple pie. The Be Our Guest part of it, where they're popping champagne corks, and you can feel the wind, and the champagne, and Donald Duck, I think at one point crashes into the wall.
Yes,
it's
does.
It's a really cool experience that, to me, that's what I want when I'm taking a break. Like, I don't want the Hall of Presidents where I'm sitting down listening to history lesson. This is, I'm taking a break, but I'm having fun. I always feel though, like don't the Disney 3D glasses always sit weird on your face?
They do.
They sit up way too high.
So I'm gonna say this, and I think you'll appreciate this just because based on some of our previous podcasts and discussions off the air, I agree with you about my feelings about Mickey's Philharmonic. I would say in all of the Florida parks that are Disney parks, it is my second favorite experience in this genre.
Oh,
My first favorite is in Hollywood Studios with the Muppets.
Right. You can't touch them. The Muppets is bad. You know how I feel about the Muppets. So
yes,
obviously
right.
The Muppets is yeah, it's up there, the Magic Kingdom, or the Haunted
Mansion.
There
are a lot of similarities between Mickey's PhilharMagic and the Muppet. What is it called? Do you know off the top of your head?
It was called Muppets 3D Vision, wasn't it? It's very,
maybe so. Maybe that's
something
it.
Like that. I like the story. I like the chaotic story. So basically is Mickey's about to conduct the PhilharMagic.
Right.
He leaves his hat behind. Donald takes it. Can't control the instruments. Goes in a wild ride through all these. It's almost like a music video of different animated Disney films with some really cool, like The Lion King. Like when that comes up, there's like a scene where there's all these different layers and Simba's mm-hmm. spinning heads. And
yes.
Yeah, I think it's it captures 3D really well in the essence of chaos.
Right. And the chaos makes it fun.
Yes.
It intensifies the humor of the situation, I would say. So
yes.
Yeah. Yes. But I thoroughly enjoy Mickey's PhilharMagic. You know, truthfully, I didn't start going to that until probably about three visits ago.
Really? I think the first time I saw it was it had been around. I think it was preceded by a Lion King show. I don't know. Maybe that was when the people took over. But it was in the late 90s the first time I saw it. But I was like, I cannot believe I passed this up before. And I would tell – when people ask me, I've been like, what do I need to go to? I'm like, you have to see the PhilharMagic because it's such a fun thing to do. I don't know if it's something I could go to back-to-back, but it's certainly something I could do in the morning. And then if I was leaving and I was walking past it, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that again. All right, now coming up in a couple of they're considered top-tier rides that are not top-tier rides for me, and I don't know if I'll ever go on these rides again. So forgive me for all the diehard Disney fans, but Peter Pan's Flight, I'm over it. It's a slow-loading ride. The ride vehicles are neat. The view of London's really cool. But man, it's a really short ride with not a whole lot of payoff for me anymore. So I don't. When I ride it, I'm just like, why did I wait for this? As a kid, I liked it, but I don't know. What do you think about Peter Pan's Flight? Is it something you still enjoy, or?
I do not.
Okay.
And there is really primarily. So once I get on the ride, it's fine. It's not. It doesn't. I'm not like, oh my goodness, I've been waiting for this my entire life. That kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It is. I don't understand. And we use the app when we are there. So you know, for wait times and getting into virtual queues and using lightning passes and all that stuff. And I know that names have changed probably on some of these things recently. That ride, consistently. With the exception of the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which that's a whole other thing, has the longest wait times in Disney. And I do not understand why.
I don't get it either.
I do not understand it.
It's a short ride that, you know, the I think going on that ride in the 1980s as a kid and you fly over London,
mm-hmm.
it was just really an incredible effect. You see little cars right. moving down there. Yeah. I'm not saying it's still an incredible effect, but I don't know, just not enough happens. And it's infuriating in that ride too, that if you do, like, when it was Fast Pass and now it's, you know, shoot, what is it called? It's not Lightning Lanes.
Is it not Lightning Lanes?
Is it?
I think it's Lightning Lanes, but I could be.
It's just infuriating to stand there and watch people just walk up and walk past you as you stand there. About to get on, which seems like forever. So that just the wait and the payoff just completely turns me off. And I don't know. It's not something that's particularly aged well for me. It's a ride too. Like it's a ride where you can turn your head and really lose the magic.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas of the right. And we talk about Haunted Mansion, like the dune buggy turns, so you can't ruin the magic.
Right.
But there, you know, you can turn around and kind of look at something and go, oh, that's how they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the one that really, I'll probably go on Peter Pan's Flight again, although I don't want to wait for it, or when I get like a Lightning Lanes pass. It's a Small World, does zero for me. It's a long ride to nowhere with annoying music. It's a flat, pretty much flat boat ride. And I would always end up going on just because there was no wait.
Right.
But now I'm like, I don't even want to – I've been stuck in there so many – you talk about Haunted Mansion breaking down. I seem to always get stuck inside. It's a Small World. That song is on repeat in so many different languages. And it just feels like there's nothing new happening. It's colorful. And I think everyone should experience at least once. But, man, after almost 20 times there, I don't think I could do it again.
So the I've also been stuck on Small World on It's a Small World several times, and the thing that the Haunted Mansion has going for it that Small World doesn't is that even though I'm stopped on Haunted Mansion, and you mentioned this, but I'm going to elaborate a little bit more on it, I am comfortable where I am sitting. On Small World, I am crammed in there, and I mean, you know, I'm a taller guy, and so my knees are already almost to my chin.
For our listeners, they'll recognize another slight crack about my height from Scott.
Yeah, that was a jab, but and so to be stuck in there, not moving with the boats all just like right up on each other, that plays really not so well with my claustrophobia.
But and too. I love the Haunted Mansion. Somebody gets sick of them, like, ooh, bonus time in the Haunted Mansion. I don't feel that way. I mean, it's a boat tour. It takes you around the world through different languages and different cultures, which honestly probably are very dated and stereotypical at this point. It just doesn't seem – it's a very dated view of the world with a very 50s and 60s aesthetic to it, which that – the aesthetic I don't mind so much. It's not for me. Now – so let's move from It's a Small World over to something that I really do. Enchanted Tales with Belle, I really enjoy. I've only been on it once. It's something that I thought I would hate. And the description of the ride at Disney is, relive the magic of Beauty and the Beast by taking part in her fairy tale alongside Belle herself. Now, for me, it's not necessarily when, you know, at some point you end up being in Belle's castle and people are playing different roles and there's kind of a little play going on. It's fine. But the part where you enter her dad – have you been on this ride, Scott?
Yes.
The part where you enter her dad's workshop and it somehow the wall dissolves and you enter the castle,
mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I couldn't figure out, like, how in the world they did that. It's one of the coolest effects I've ever seen. So I think I would probably go on that ride again and again. Just for that effect. And like the little play itself is cute. You know, the boys, they didn't want to do it when we were there. I'm sure your girls probably really enjoy it.
Yep. Yep.
But I think it's a cool little ride. I think it's something that all people can enjoy that.
Right. Yes. I agree with that. I agree. I don't really have anything to add to that. I think you summed that one up pretty well, and I've only been on it once, so I can't remember all of the details on that one.
I do. So next we're going to go to the Under the Sea Journey of the Little Mermaid, Descend Below the Waves for a splashy musical adventure. I actually really like this one. I like how you kind of walk through a grotto to load into these, like, it's like, I think you sit in like a shell.
Yes, it is a seashell. Yeah.
Not mistaken. There's a great
very much a haunted mansion principle.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's got some just very cool scenes, like the one, especially like, you know, if you going back to what you just said, there's a part where, you know, when you go in the room with Madame Leota, the seance room with the floating head, you know, you kind of go a circle around it, just like when you enter the part where I think it's Sebastian's conducting the orchestra.
Yes.
You go like in a circle around it, and it seems like everywhere you look is something really cool.
Right. Yeah.
Well, one of our favorite moments is we saw this guy was riding a scooter and on his cell phone at the same time, and he crashed his scooter into the wall of the grotto waiting in line. Yeah, this happened at about four miles an hour, probably, but it was fun to watch. I like the ride. It's not anything fancy. It's not a thrill ride, but it's just got some cool scenery. I like the Little Mermaid movie, so it's definitely something I would do again and again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I like that ride, and we usually do that a couple of times probably when we're there, because they're in various parts of the day, it has low wait times, mm-hmm. and it moves quickly, much like Haunted Mansion does when it's running. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
yeah, it's pretty cool in there in terms of temperature wise too. And then we'll go on to the Barnstormer, which it's described as a junior roller coaster. I think I looked it up. It's like a minute and 27 seconds long, which I was stunned because it seems about like it lasts about a third of that. Man, I don't even know if it's – you'll spend more time just like – well, most rides you're going to spend more time in the queue, but like just walking up the ramp is longer than being on this ride itself. It's probably not something – it really – you go up very slowly and you take one turn down and then a couple other turns and you're done. So for me, the Barnstormer is a complete waste of time. They try to do some theming there with Goofy. I think it looks nice. And I think if you've got younger kids, it's a nice roller coaster. But for me, as an adult, I don't think I'll go on it again.
Well, I think that's kind of the point is that, and that you just said is, I look at the Barnstormer as that's a good gateway roller coaster for kids who are interested in ever becoming roller coaster riders. It's a nice way to, Carowinds used to have a similar ride. Back in the 70s and 80s, called the Scooby-Doo, that was kind of like a roller coaster in miniature. I believe the Scooby-Doo was probably a little bit longer than the Barnstormer, but I know for my kids, they are interested. The girls, especially at their age, Stone's pretty brave about most of those things, but they kind of use those to bridge a little bit. Well, at least a couple of them ended up riding. Other roller coasters because they started out on the Barnstormer, and that's a good little fit. The Mine Train also serves that purpose as well, as does Big Thunder Mountain.
Yeah, I'll get to Mine Train in a minute here. Dumbo the Flying Elephant. I think there's two now.
Yes, there are.
And there's a really cool queue, like inside, like a circus tent, where your kids can do some climbing and things in there. So I think that. As an attraction, it's definitely much improved from when it was just one standalone Dumbo. Although there's nothing spectacular, you're just sitting in a Dumbo where the ears go up and down. It's just a fun ride. This, I don't crave it. I don't necessarily go on it every time, but like whenever I do go on it, I'm pretty happy to go on it. I enjoy it.
Right.
And I like the queue. The circus queue is really cool.
I believe that Dumbo is probably the ride that is specific to Disney that I view sort of like riding the carousel at any park in general. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Is it's not spectacular. It is not woohoo. I can't wait to let's put that top of the list, but it's kind of like, well, we got to ride Dumbo. Yeah. Even though we probably don't ride it every time, but it's Dumbo is one of those rides that are original to Disney World that just feel like this is kind of part of the history.
Yeah, so. And it used to be before they put the second one in, the queue there was pretty unbearable because you know it's not a continuously loading ride, so putting two in there, and like I said, the circus queue, and there's multi levels in there, just a lot of fun to run around and let some steam off.
Yes, agreed.
Then there's, the Mad Tea Party. I mean, it's just a teacup ride. Move on to the next thing. The Mad Tea Party.
It's my least favorite ride in the park.
It's also weird. It's virtually in Tomorrowland, which is weird. Like, it's just right there at the cusp. It's a
Right.
really weird location. Yeah, all it is spinning teacups. That's called the
I
Mad
don't.
Tea Party.
So that's the kind of ride that I don't typically enjoy, is spinning around and around and around in a circle. I don't feel good whenever I do it. It sort of makes me queasy. I usually skip that ride when my wife and kids get on it. And my wife loves to spin.
Yeah, I
And
love
she
the
likes to
spin.
get it spinning as
Me too.
fast as she can.
I know Elaine's going to be listening to this. I think the last time I was on with her, in the last 10 years, and I was spinning it. Steven, stop it.
Well, you
I
tell
just.
Elaine that if we ever go to Disney together, that she can ride with me because I'll just sit there.
That's the way she would prefer it.
Yep. So
Just to sit and hold tight.
she and I can ride together. So,
Okay.
yeah.
So next we have the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, which I will say inexplicably is one of my favorite rides. There's nothing fancy about it. It's got a really fun queue area that the kids can interact with different things. It looks like you're in like a garden of Winnie the Pooh. I like the theming. Even the queue just it kind of blends into the walkway of Fantasyland a little bit. Just got that little thin stone wall there. It's great for people watching. The ride itself has got good music. And it just tells a fun story. I like there's a part in there where you see Winnie the Pooh is sleeping, and then like his body floats out of it in the like this, you know what I'm saying? And I don't know. It's a fun little ride that like I would much rather ride over and over again than say Peter Pan or It's a Small World.
Agreed. And you're riding in a honey pot.
Yeah, and
How
it's like
fantastic is
it's
that?
going up and down these little. It's just fun. It's just
Yeah.
so I
Well,
just
and
I always enjoy it.
you're basically in the pages of a book.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And it just like I said, the music to it is fun. There's the Hufflump music. I just it makes me smile. It makes me smile to think about that ride. I always go on there. The first time I was on it was in the late 90s, and always a good ride.
Yes, agreed.
The Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Brandy and I were actually there the night that it had a soft opening for the press. So we could hear it, but we couldn't see it or get on it. And it wasn't until the next visit we went on it. I can tell you this, I remember going on with my dad. My dad was a big guy. He could barely fit in one of those cars because it is a tight fit.
It is.
Another I guess my biggest gripe here is that it is a very short roller coaster. I like the way the car swings, but it feels
Yes.
like just as you get going, the ride's over.
I do the queue being inside the mine with the gems and all that
That's some good stuff.
is neat. However, the wait is just so long that it's hard to enjoy
Yeah,
that.
it's waiting that long for a ride that short just.
And I especially, I mean, and this is just me, so this is where the message boards probably light up, is I prefer Big Thunder Mountain.
Oh, absolutely. All day long, Big Thunder Mountain. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train would be very low on my list in terms of, I mean, it's ahead of the Barnstormer, obviously, but like, it's not better than Slinky Dog. Yeah,
Oh,
Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is not a must for me at all.
And I don't understand the demand. Is it because most do you would you guess that it's because most people don't like hardcore roller coasters?
Yeah, I think it's just. I think you got a classic character there and a really cool setting. It's cool there because it kind of shares that same space with Ariel, right? Like one side is basically Ariel and the other side is Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. But just kind of wrapping up Fantasyland. I mean, there's. Let me count here. I'm going to take Peter Pan's Flight and the Barnstormer out of it, and I'll include the carousels right over. We go 1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6. I mean, there are seven if I take out Peter Pan and what's the other one I said I didn't do?
You said Barnstormer, but
Barnstormer,
I,
yeah.
you know,
There's
I
still
don't.
seven. I mean, even then there's nine rides that are just there's so much to do in there, and I'm in such a good mood when I'm in Fantasyland. There's even a spot like in the back, like it's called Big Top Souvenirs. Which is a great souvenir store. And they've got some baked goods back there. I remember one night we went back there. It was probably, we were with the boys. They were maybe like second grade. And there were characters back there, and there was no wait. And one was like a Donald Duck Swami, and another one was like a Goofy, like in like a almost like a Super Dave Osborne type outfit. And we got some really cool pictures. And it just, I liked the redo of Fantasyland that expanded it to make it even bigger. And then there's some stuff that's not an attraction. There's some water features in there now, updated bathrooms. It's just a really nice area to be in. I just feel good spending time there. I mean, there's not a whole, I don't think there's anywhere in Disney I don't like it, but just Fantasyland's a little bit extra. Now we go into one that's got some great, just absolutely terrific parts of Disney is Tomorrowland. And we'll run down the attractions and mention some of the dining stuff there. Not a whole lot of shopping in Tomorrowland, but attractions, Tomorrowland Speedway, the Tron Light Cycle, which full disclosure, I've not been on.
Nor have I. My wife has.
Space Mountain, Astro Orbiter, Tomorrowland Transit Authority, People Mover, the Walt Disney Carousel of Progress, Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin, Monsters Inc. Laugh Floor. And if I'm looking at this, I'm counting these down. There's one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine attractions, or another set on one, two, three, four, seven, eight attractions. That's eight for eight for me. I'm going to take, I'll say seven of eight, because the Tomorrowland Speedway, I do not enjoy.
Agreed.
It's a diesel, I don't know if it's diesel, but it's a loud ride on almost like go-kart. They're not go-karts. It's not fun. You can barely control the cars you're in. They're on a track. It seems like you can just let go of the wheel and hit the gas and you're going to go forward.
Right.
The scenery's not great. It takes up a lot of real estate. So that's really the only one for me that's a miss.
And when it's hot, there is no shade.
Right, there's no shade there. There is an interesting, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, it wasn't until the last time I rode it, there's actually a little grandstand area where people can sit and watch,
Yes, I've noticed that.
which I think is kind of cool, but I've never seen anyone sit there, but you can.
Every year that I go, or not, or every time that I go, I should say, I'm always surprised to find that still in business.
I've heard so many people say that they're always surprised to find it there. Yeah, it's just not a whole lot of fun. I can't comment on the Tron Light Cycle. I haven't, it opened up in the last year. I've only heard wonderful things about it, so I'm not even going to try to touch that. Obviously, blasting off on a roller coaster in the dark is Space Mountain. There's everything to love about Space Mountain, from its outside appearance to the long queue. Did you think, so I know you're a fan of the Space Mountain queue, as am I, because I think it's neat that you walk down into it and then you're slowly going up. And then as you're walking up, there's kind of like these like portals on the sides, or like it's like an asteroid, or like it looks like a car is going by. I actually thought that that was the car of people on the ride going by. You know what I'm talking about?
I do. I do. And I thought that too. I thought that too for years. I thought
Yeah,
that.
I was into my adult years where I was like,
Yes, I was the same way. So this is my favorite ride. I am a Space Mountain nerd, junkie, whatever you want to call it from way back. I love Space Mountain. I love everything about Space Mountain. Now, I have known people that have experienced riding Space Mountain with the lights on, which I
Wow.
understand they do from time to time. And I would love to have that experience. I have not had it, but I mean, I absolutely just love everything about this ride, from the queue to get on, the ride itself, the queue to get off, the Space Mountain gift shop, everything. I just the soothing, like, I don't know, synthesized music as you're walking in, just
If
all of it.
it feels like if you took the best of Epcot and like put it in a blender with the best of Fantasyland, you come up with this attraction of like there's elements of other things in there, even though it existed before Epcot did. But I just I yeah you're going to loading it. They used to, I don't know if they call it anymore. They used to have the Alpha and the Omega track.
They still do.
And I remember at one point there was a story narrated by Mario Lopez at one point, which I don't think is there anymore. But it seems
No,
to
I don't think so.
it always loaded pretty fast. I think it's cool, like, you know, where you get to that point where the two lines split. There's like a control center there where the people are working. That to me that really adds to it. And then, you know,
yes,
I always liked, you know, you when you get in the car and the brake releases and you kind of just go around a curve really fast.
Right.
And you go through some red lights before you go up.
Yes.
That's just a really cool little experience. And then it's extremely loud
Right.
when you're going up that track. But man, I don't know how many. I mean, I've been on it countless times, and always the drop surprised me.
Yes.
Always, it's one of those rides where you know you're laughing because you're just having so much fun on it. You swear that you're going, you can kind of make out the outlines of the steel, and you swear your head's going to hit it.
Yes.
Every
time.
Time you're like, I might. And
every
just
time.
When your head's about to hit it, you drop.
Right.
And that's just, it's just a cool illusion. I've never ridden it in the daylight. I've seen it running in the daylight from the people mover. But there were no people on it at the time. I know there's a Star Wars overlay they do at some of the parks that I have not experienced. But I think just as much fun as that ride is, and it's almost as fun at the bottom as it is at the top. Because you're always just whipping around, and there's some drops, and at the bottom it seems like you're even whipping around even faster. But once you get off, and then you walk through like that archaeological exploration of the moon or wherever it's supposed to be, it's that long flat escalator that takes you out. That really wraps up the story and the ride just so well. Takes you into that great gift shop, which once upon a time I think was an arcade. But they usually have some good pins
I think
in
you're
there.
Right. I think that's correct. Yeah.
Now, I wanted to ask you this. I was thinking about this. Do you recall what the outside of that building looks like? It's a fictional building that you and I know very well. It took me years before I made this connection to what it looks like. And I want you to think about it next time you're there. Do you know what I'm talking about?
It's
that house
of Space
is that
Mountain
gift shop.
Itself?
No, it's next to Space Mountain. It's the one where the gift shop is. And you really get the best view of this from the people mover.
Huh. Okay. So I'll have to remember to do that. Or are you not going to tell me right now?
I want to tell you. Saying? But if
well,
you want
me
to tell you,
no,
it looks like the Hall of Justice. I'll have to send you a picture of it. But
please do.
It's pretty cool. But anyway, Space Mountain's just I think I've gotten off of it and just gone back on, and I could probably do that, you know, over and over and over again. The next one is a controversial ride where you pilot your own spaceship high above Tomorrowland, and that is the Astro Orbiter, which I enjoy. Brandy does not, because it's a ride where, you know, it's on top of a building. You have to take an elevator up there, and it just goes around and around. I think there's some great views from up there.
Agreed.
I've always enjoyed that kind of ride.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, it's one of those ones where you're just like a little spaceship and you've got like one stick. You know, you push forward, you go down. You know, pull back, you go up. I just think it's fun.
I mean, it's Dumbo and Aladdin's carpet.
Exactly. It's the same ride, but with a different perspective because it's on the roof.
Yes, and it's wonderful to ride at night.
Yeah, it really is.
Now you say it's a controversial ride. Do you mean controversial between you and Brandy?
Me and Brandy, but I've heard other people say that you know, they feel like it's nothing special. I mean, the ride itself is nothing special, but the location of the
goodness.
Ride is
I mean,
special.
You could say that about so many rides that don't, you know, really deliver a lot. I think that some things it's for the experience itself for this one it is the height of it that is so
the altitude.
And
this is kind of a nice theming of the elevator. It feels like you're kind of like, in, you know, going on to launching off of a rocket.
Agreed.
Now here we go. Agreed. Of course, I say this a lot, but man, the Tomorrowland Transit Authority People Mover absolutely might be. I say Haunted Mansion is number one. It could be the People Mover. People Mover is just 7 to 8 minutes of pure joy. It's a long ride. It's great views. It's got humor. It takes you inside the Space Mountain. It takes you inside of Buzz Lightyear's Space Spin Ranger or Space Ranger Spin. I love it. I love that, you know, every time. paging Mr. Morrow, Mr. Tom Morrow.
Yeah.
I think it even has in there like an original model of what Epcot was supposed to look like.
Uh-huh. It does.
Just a lot of, I don't know. It's just fun. I remember Ben, we went on tonight. We bought Ben a little Buzz Lightyear gun and he we sat down and he held the trigger on that thing for the entire ride. And it was like, had flashing lights. I was like, it's like 8 minutes of that. Him just standing there staring at us. And it's continuously loading, so there's never a long line. It's really cool technology. I'm surprised there's not actual people movers out there in the world. But I just think it's neat. For some reason, there's a part where like you're kind of coming and going, and you're going side by side of the train going the other direction. And it's just like a nice symmetry there. But I really like it. It's so relaxing. You can, if it's not busy, you can ask them to ride again. They'll let you ride it again.
Yeah. And this is another one of those scenarios where you're kind of just getting a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a great Disney is very thoughtful in that regard. It just provides you with an opportunity to just kind of sit and chill.
And no matter how many times I've been on it, it always seems it's longer than I remembered, which is just it's a nice surprise. Like, oh yeah, I forgot we go through that.
Agreed.
Got some yawning going on there.
No. I'm sorry.
Walt Disney's Carousel of Progress is next up. Now, we'll get into a little bit of some nostalgia stuff here with the next couple things we're going to talk about. So the Walt Disney World Carousel of Progress, the Carousel of Progress even predates Disneyland.
Yes.
Something that Walt Disney created to show the travel of passage of time through the 20th century and changes in technology. Scott, there are two songs associated with this attraction. One is Now Is the Time, Now Is the Time, Now Is the Best Time of Your Life. Be glad you're here, 3 cheers, something. But then there's also There's a Great Big,
great,
beautiful,
big beautiful Tomorrow. Hanging around the end of every day.
Are you familiar with both of those versions? Because I think apparently I first was exposed to this ride when it was Now Is the Time, Now Is the Best Time. So that was my first song. So when that got replaced, I didn't realize A Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow was the original song, was replaced, then they brought it back. So the replacement song was the one I thought was the best one. But I like the Carousel of Progress.
Yes.
I think it's cool technology. I don't care that the last scene is, it's very 80s dated.
Right.
With grandma playing Astro Blasters.
Right. Yes.
I think it's fun.
Yes. I do too. And I will say that this is one of my favorite attractions. We will never miss riding on the Carousel of Progress when we were there, unless it's broken down. I have a placard in my office that says "There's a Great Big Beautiful Tomorrow," and
is that the office where you never answer the phone when I call?
That's it. That's that office. So for our listeners out there, Steve usually calls me during the middle of the workday, which is when he likes to try and get a hold of me, as opposed to, in the after hours.
I think it's admirable as a teacher that I find time during my workday to call you in the middle of the
workday. Some might say, how do you find time as a teacher?
Hey, you throw enough Jolly Ranchers out in the middle of the classroom floor.
That's true. But I am huge fan of Carousel of Progress. I love the way it moves around. I think it's kind of neat that there are certain instances when you can hear the next scene or the previous scene while you're sitting in the scene that you're in.
Yeah, I like
I think that's very enduring.
I also like too, like there's like the way it's set up, and I like things that aren't over tech. Like, you can see like there's not a light turned on, so you can kind of see the silhouette of what's coming next in the scene you're watching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love how he always makes some allusion to, oh, it's never going to happen or it's never going to work.
Right.
And it's something, obviously that we now take for granted.
I like how they sing into the next scene, but I like the rotating theater is to me really cool.
Yeah.
I enjoy the Carousel of Progress.
I do too.
Something I actually haven't been on it the last few times I've been there, but I'm ready to go back. Usually the boys don't want to go on it, but I'm cool with it. Now I love Buzz Lightyear's Space Ranger Spin. I just think it's a lot of people complain that it's in so badly need of an upgrade. I don't care. I love it the way it is.
I do too.
I think
it's a shooting gallery, a moving shooting gallery.
Exactly. It's
what more could you want?
Right. It's just fun. Like, you know, I just want to say there's people who don't enjoy it and they're saying like it so badly needs this up. It to me it doesn't. It's the imperfections of it, in fact, make it more fun. The fact that when you try to spin your card, it's really just a rugged spin.
Yes.
And, you know, you swear you're pointing your laser somewhere and it's off 45 degrees to the left.
Right. Yes.
It's a lot of fun. You know, and the keys to that ride are, I'm not going to tell you, I know I can tell you off the air, Scott, but I know the key to, I've gotten the highest score on that ride because there's a secret Z that you can hit. But if you keep firing no matter what throughout the ride, you're going to hit stuff and your score is going to go up.
Yes.
But you remember when we would have first gone there as kids, what that ride was? Because it's the same ride track. And there's even that part where when you go through the tunnel and it's like, you know, it's like Starry Lights. I remember that being probably the original ride.
What was it?
It was if you had wings sponsored by Eastern Airlines. And it basically, you sat in this little cart, and it took you on the experience of being on an airplane, which in 1980 was still like, you know, not everyone had been on an airplane yet.
Right.
It was kind of a neat thing. I remember in that that the tunnel was like that was the takeoff point where everything kind of zoomed past you, and it was a really fun ride. I remember there was a song that was like, "If you had wings, if you had wings," something like that.
Eastern Airlines. Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic.
And we flew Eastern Airlines the first time we went there. Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor, which I also find to be a delightful experience every time. But go there
it
where
is
you're,
great.
You're given the chance to – you can text in a joke that's likely going to get read. You know, the key – let me tell you to all our listeners out there, do not sit where the lights are directly in front of you. Because if you sit with lights directly in front of you, you're going to become part of the show. But, you know, it's basically monsters doing jokes and then personalizing it to the audience.
Right.
Usually they'll pick on some kind of audience member by just repeatedly showing them.
Yes. And I love that he will do like an awkward pause.
Yes.
That's one of my favorite things about the Laugh Floor is Wazowski doing an awkward pause. But that's, yeah.
Yeah, the idea being we're filling up the laugh canisters to power Monster City.
Yes.
Some people don't like it. They don't consider it an attraction. Every time I've gone there, I come out in a good mood.
Yes,
I mean, everything except for the Tomorrowland Speedway in Tomorrowland, I love.
Agreed.
I love the way the land looks. It's still fun to me. Now, the one that's not there anymore is Stitch's Great Escape, which closed down about 6 years ago.
I do not like it.
I thought I was on it one time. I liked it. But at the time I was in my mid 20s, as a kid, I probably would have thought it was really scary.
Yeah.
A lot of people did not like it at all.
I did not like it at all.
I remember being on that ride as a child when it was called like Mission to Mars, I think.
Yeah, I believe that's correct.
Which was just, I remember as a kid, I wasn't impressed. You're basically looking at a screen on the floor and it was supposed to simulate you taking off in a ship. Even as a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 1980, it didn't impress me. But I did learn recently the reason why that area's never been opened is due to asbestos laws. So those buildings are one continuous building, and if they change the ride track or do a certain type of renovation, they have to update some things to get to code. That they don't want to spend the money on. I don't know if that's true or not, but I've read that.
Disney never seems to be unwilling to spend money.
That's true. Well, they seem to like to spend money going forward, but not necessarily like fixing a problem.
Maybe so. I don't know.
We talked about how much we like Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe.
We did. And
I know
we can talk about it again if you feel like we should, because I really love Cosmic Rays.
Cosmic Rays is just a great location. It's a big location, quality restrooms. I like the smell of the restrooms in Tomorrowland for some reason. Ray's cool.
So,
but I like everything. It's Tomorrowland's just really, really, really great. And I would probably make that my last thing, but if it was my first thing, that'd be okay. We've also done things like, you know, there's a right there in the front entrance. There's a seasonal noodle place that sometimes is open. It's actually really good if you ever. It's only open a few weeks a year, but we watched the fireworks from the Tomorrowland Terrace. It was like a dessert thing,
mm-hmm.
And while the dessert it was like all the coffee and dessert you could have wasn't terrific, The view was worth it. It actually it was drizzling that night, a little bit cold, so it was actually really. I would recommend it. I think it was like $40 a person. I'd do it again.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It's just a nice setting, just like being in Tomorrowland.
Okay.
All right, so if we head back down Main Street really quick, Main Street USA. Usually, we tend to hit the Emporium. I think is what it's called. It's the long shop. So if you're headed out of the Magic Kingdom.
It's on the right.
It's on the right side, and it's just a long one, long connected.
Yeah,
we souvenir do that store. Too. That towards the front has the same an endless amount of pins. And I like it. You know, on the way out, you can hit Casey's Corner again. There's ice cream there. The bakery is there. There's a Starbucks there, which you know a lot of people won't go in the Starbucks at a protest. I won't do Starbucks at Disney. It doesn't make sense. But have you done the thing where I've only done it once. It was last time we were there, where they open the gates behind Main Street so you can get out quickly if it's too crowded. Have you done that?
Yes, I have.
I thought that was great. I didn't realize how quickly you could get out. So basically what they do is there's if you're say you're leaving Tomorrowland and you're headed towards Main Street, to your left behind where the buildings would be, there's like a white gate. And they'll open that gate and it's just like a big open space. You walk behind Main Street and it takes you straight down to the entrance. And it gets you out really quickly if it's crowded that night or there's a fireworks show or they want to clear it out because of a Christmas party. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. I like to be able I like it when they do that option. I've also done that option. There's like a back way out of Hollywood Studios.
I've not done that.
That is pretty good. So. Yeah, so I think that takes us
back out. We've gone down Main Street. We're going to get back on. I think I said when I leave, usually the monorail is the way to go. Or, you know, usually when we stay at a resort, we just go ahead and get on a bus right there. It's always kind of a nice stroll out there. I've got a great picture of my parents sitting just outside the park on some benches. My mom's kind of reaching over for my dad's popcorn. You can see him like leaning away with it, like, no. That always been my fondest memory. Go with my dad, and my dad would he would just go from food kiosk to food kiosk. Like, he'd get his popcorn. As soon as he was done that, he would stop and get, you know, a Mickey bar or some kind of beverage. And he just really enjoyed. I talked about before how much he liked the logistics, but like, he loved the cleanliness of it. He loved the food. He just always had a good time there. Yeah. That's fun. That's a fun thing about Disney is really just as much as fun as you're going to have there is watching the other people you're with enjoying themselves so much.
Agreed. Yeah, that's true. That is true.
It seems like
we are approaching the 75-minute mark.
75 minutes. You're welcome to our audience.
Yes.
So I'm just going to give
this bonus material.
I'm just going to give you one. Scott and I at some point are going to debut a segment. I'm a huge fan of The Rockford Files, a show from the 1970s starring James Gardner, 6 seasons of outstandingly produced and directed television with quality guest stars, but also some great quotes, which I'm going to start to throw some quotes Scott's way, and he's going to try to interpret them for us with no context whatsoever. So, Scott, here's your first one. That guy is 100% chucklehead. Scott, can you break that down for us?
Okay, so that guy is evidently somebody who Jim Rockford's been talking to or with or has observed him passing by. He is 100%. That means he's purely. This guy is nothing else other than this descriptive that Jim Rockford is applying to him. And he is a chucklehead, which basically he's a moron. He's an absolute idiot. He is... He has no bearing in life whatsoever. Probably has difficulty tying his own shoes and getting himself dressed in the morning.
Do you feel like this is a reference to the Chuckles candy, the gelatinous candy with the sugar coating? And do you eat the black chuckle?
Okay. Boy, you have really kind of opened up a whole bunch here right at the end. I think that I would think that Chucklehead probably predated the Chuckles candy as a descriptor. And I do not eat the black chuckle.
Okay. I'm going to go ahead and look at when Chuckles candy came out here. Let's see. I got nothing coming up right now. I may have to look. May have to resume this conversation on a future episode here. My thought was that perhaps that it was 100% Chucklehead was that like since there was just really nothing inside of Chuckle but just this jelly. That was the kind of reference that I don't know, but I'll start to collect some quotes in the Rockford Files, and throw those out to you. I don't have any really.
But even if it was a reference to the Chuckles candy, my definition still stands.
Okay, I think having seen the episode, I think that's a pretty good description.
Yes.
Very accurate. All right. Do you have some Mike Schmidt trivia? That was my random question, was the Rockford Files thing for tonight, especially with 76 minutes. Do you have some Mike Schmidt trivia for us?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. In celebration of the Philadelphia Phillies' 100th anniversary, Mike Schmidt.
1983, by the way.
Well, you just gave the answer to the question.
I'm that good.
Wow. The question, so it was. I was going to say that Mike Schmidt was voted by fans as the greatest player in the history of the franchise. I was going to say, and what year was that? And boom, you got it. So, I mean, you're like pre-Jeopardy now.
Well, so 1983, I was 10 years old. 1983, they went to the World Series. But also in 1983, for that year, they wore a very distinctive circular patch that had a diamond on it. Mm-hmm. And at the different bases were the different P logos that the Phillies wore in that 100 years. And so very important year in the history of the Phillies. Because they had just, you know, they just won their first World Series in 98 years, 3 years before, and they just were going again during the 100th anniversary. So in a season, by the way, I don't know if you know this, the Phillies that season fired their manager when they were in first place.
Wow.
It was Pat Corrales was fired, and a man by the name of Paul Owens, who was nicknamed the Pope because he looked like John Paul. Pope John Paul II, was it?
Yes. That would have been who the Pope was at that point.
My papal knowledge is not outstanding. But if you, you know, Scott and I host another podcast just about popes and nuns. For any of you want to,
and saints,
we call it the oratory.
Yes.
Was it the oratory? Wasn't that Rock? Was it Rocky?
Yes.
Wasn't it?
Yes.
College
it
Avenue,
was.
Maybe.
It was.
I can distinctively recall driving by that and you looking at me and going, hey, what do you think goes on in an oratory?
Oh, that's great. That's great. Okay. So I believe this wraps us up for the evening.
And it does, and we've got we've got some episodes. We're gonna visit also Epcot. We're gonna visit Animal Kingdom. We'll visit Hollywood Studios. Also, I know we're gonna do some update our baseball podcast, do our two early predictions for the 2024 season, just after the first month, and kind of rant a little bit about the Sacramento A's as well.
Uh huh. Yes. Well,
also I think in that episode, so we got a sports episode coming up soon. We'll do baseball predictions. I think a good recap of the NFL draft would be good too.
I think we can do that. And you know, we had said we were going to make our baseball playoff predictions based on the fact that we're 20 games in or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. And our Royals are doing pretty good.
Yes, they are. So we're excited about that.
As you know, Scott and I are, are lifelong Kansas City Royal fans.
Samat Taylor, we're looking at you.
Sadly with the Mariners now, but yeah, we're looking at Samad.
So, I mean, I'm looking forward to his homecoming because I'm assuming they'll trade back for him.
I think that's going to happen. I think it's a a deadline move that we should all look forward to.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I think if that happens, we're going to be in a plane to Kansas City pretty quickly.
That's true. That's true. And we've got to get on a plane to Kansas City pretty quickly before they tear down Kauffman Stadium.
That's true. And I think if Samad comes back, there also might be a real estate purchase involved.
Agreed. Agreed. I don't know what you're talking about, but I think that that's going to be very important. Okay. It's time to exit the Nexus, my friend.
All right. Good night to you.
F1 truly does exit the Nexus. But that's another discussion for another time.
And Gerald Ford's legacy as well.
Agreed.
And just to reiterate, I'm not a communist in any way, shape, or form.
We'll let the legal department sort that out. So.
Oh, they're telling me right now we need to end the podcast.
Okay.
We'll see you all soon. Back in the Nexus.
See you in the Nexus.
Good night.